And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Lorraine Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And one of my roles is to coordinate and run these affinity groups. We have 24 right now. I'm really lucky that I have Adam Halpern from JFS of Seattle and Brenda Ewan from the Cummings Center in Montreal as co-chairs. They make my life much easier. And they're going to take it away and introduce your presenters.
I'll do it right now. Okay.
And I'm going to mute those who are speaking. But if you all can rename yourselves, that's always great to do so that we know what community you're in. I'll do the same. You just right click on your name and go to rename and put in your community. That would be wonderful. So we're going to go into breakout rooms too and talk in smaller circles. We had 40 people, is that what I said, sign up for this? So we think it's going to be big. It seems like it's an important topic. So take it away, Adam.
Great. Well, thanks for all joining us for this discussion. Brenda and I were chatting about a month ago, I think it was, about topics and some of the things that we're facing. And certainly here in Seattle, one of the big questions has been, what does reopening look like, if anything, and how do we start resuming in-person services with clients? And so much of our work has been remote for the past year, particularly with staff being vaccinated and many of our clients also being vaccinated. And so we've invited three people to talk to us today about what's happening in their local communities and their local agencies. I'm gonna briefly just say who our agencies are that are going to, the people that are going to be presenting. So we'll have each of them speak for a few minutes to just give some context. And then after that, we will break into breakout groups for all of us to talk a little bit more in depth about what each of us is doing in our own communities. So I want to thank our three people who volunteered or who were asked to speak. Thank you very much. We'll be hearing from Kathy Burns, the Director of Services for Older Adults at JF&CS in Boston. Heather Mandel Kraut, who's the team lead of Older Adult Services at JFCS Winnipeg, and Debbie Benuni, the director of the Dorothy and Peter Brown Jewish Community Adult Day Program at JVS Human Services in Southfield, Michigan. So thank you very much again for all coming, and thank you, Heather, Kathy, and Debbie for speaking. And Heather, if you wanna start us off, that would be great.
Sure, great. Thank you so much for asking me to speak today. So I work for Jewish Child and Family Service in Canada in a place called Winnipeg, Manitoba. So I'm not sure if many people in the group here are familiar with what is happening in Canada as compared to what's happening in the US. Things unfortunately are very different here in Canada. In my province, which is Manitoba, as of Friday, we are now in our third full lockdown. And as of tomorrow, the schools are going to be going remote again. Government is saying till the end of May, but I suspect it's probably going to continue till the end of the school year. And as the sort of, I guess, the way the lockdowns have worked here, they start out saying 3 weeks, and 3 weeks usually turns into 3 months. So sadly, that means that the majority of the summer here in Manitoba is going to be under a full lockdown. And I don't know if a lot of you know what the weather is like here in Canada, but our winters are long. They start about the beginning of October and they're really cold. So the opportunity to have, you know, visits outside, socially distanced with masks, unfortunately is not looking so good this summer. So I have to be honest, myself included, we're all feeling pretty down about the whole scenario. During our second lockdown, which was, I guess, December, January, February, the talk was, oh, the summer, you know, oh, we'll be able to do some reopening, even if it's outdoors, you know, socially distant with masks and that kind of thing. And now we're not even allowed to associate with people outside of our own household. So everything's come to a a complete stop here. So, but the good news is, with regards to vaccine rollout, our rollout plan is actually a really good one here in Manitoba. We're very organized in terms of being able to be accessible to sign up to get a vaccine, whether register online, or we have a phone line, which goes, I think, 12 hours a day, where you can phone in and make an appointment, which is usually 2 weeks out from the day that you register. The problem in Canada is with vaccine supply. Canadians, we don't produce our own vaccine here in Canada. We rely on other countries to send us vaccine. So unfortunately, that hasn't been such a smooth transition. For example, we were promised, I think, about 3 million doses from Moderna back in January or February, and I think we only got 500,000. So we're really at the mercy of others here in Canada, and so we're kind of stuck. Most of us in Manitoba, though, I'd say I think it's 44% have received our first vaccine. However, that being said, I'll give you an example of myself. I got my first vaccine in March 16th, and there's no timeline to get a second one because we're so short of vaccines that we're just trying to get everyone a first dose so we can open up a little bit. So it's a very different scenario than what you guys are looking at in the States. And I'm hopeful that Canada can get there eventually. But right now we're kind of taking a few steps backwards. So what that means, unfortunately, for our clients is a lot more anxiety, fear, stress. There's a lot of vaccine hesitancy here because the media will not stop hounding and pounding on which one is better. This one's better than the other, and this one that. And it's making people just say, you know what? I don't trust anything that's coming out. So I'm not going to do anything at all. I'm just going to stop. And that's not helpful in terms of trying to get out of a lockdown. So I'm sorry to have to start and be the bearer of a black cloud, but that's kind of what's going on here in Canada. And our province is Manitoba, but some of the bigger provinces like Ontario and Quebec and British Columbia are already under a lockdown and have been for a couple of months. And I just heard that some of that is going to be extended into June. So I don't think any province in Canada is doing particularly well at the moment. So we're still completely remote for our services, but of course, if there's an emergency or a client that we need to see, we'll have to do it outside, masked and socially distant, and really only if it's a major crisis of some kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's like back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heather, do you see the future? Do you have any idea of what it's going to look like in the future?
Well, I'm hopeful that we can start getting more vaccine. And if we can start getting more vaccine, then we have a lot of hope that we can reopen to the capacity that I hear some of the states in the US are reopening to. And, you know, if we look to Israel and the UK as good examples of how things can reopen, I'm hopeful we can get there. And I think we can if we can continue to get the vaccine. Like Canada relied a lot on India for vaccines. And unfortunately now with the situation that's going on there, you know, they need the vaccine for themselves, which is understandable, but I guess it's just a good lesson in, you know, trying helping yourself rather than relying on others.
Thank you very much for that. Does anybody have any questions that they want to ask Heather regarding her services? Later on, we're going to go into breakout rooms as well. So you'll also have an opportunity to ask questions if you think about them later on. Thank you, Heather, for that. It's very daunting. We're in Montreal as well. Beth and myself, we're both from Cummings. And I know in each province it's different, but nonetheless, we are still all dealing with the vaccines and when we're going to get the second vaccine. So
yeah,
unlike the 21 days of recommendation, I think right now we're on like 4 months, they're going to give the second one. So
that's what they said here in Manitoba is there's a 4 month window to get your second dose.
Right. So yeah. It's a while still.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. So, the situation, I think, unfortunately, is quite different in Canada from many of us in the US. So, although Michigan has not been the best either. So I'm going to turn it over to Debbie, and you can tell us a little bit about how things are going at JVS.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being asked to be here and talk today. I have the opportunity, I'm the Director of Senior Adult Services. So that puts me into two programs, one of which is the Brown program that was mentioned, and that's a specific program for people who are living with dementia and their care partners. And we have provided adult day programming for them, respite, resources, support. And that program, basically in March of last year, the middle of March, we had stopped providing in-person services. We began by April creating a remote program. So we started with 1 hour of virtual programming for participants a week. That was a variety hour. We'd send out links to all of our participant families. They could join. Shortly thereafter, we added a musical hour on a different day of the week. And as things are progressing this month, we're hoping to add a movement program as well, because our situation is a little bit better. We just, you know, heard from the governor today that we are at 55% of people that have at least their first vaccine, and that we are moving forward in that process. Our numbers do seem to be declining, but we are still at a risk level of E. So we are continuing, even with our hopes and plans of opening, we are continuing to increase our remote services. That includes weekly caregiver support groups virtually. We started a group called Connections, which we're not calling it a support group. It's for older adults. It meets once a month, and it's an opportunity just to talk, but it is hosted by our social worker to give people an opportunity to brainstorm, if necessary, vent and that kind of thing. So we have that programming going on. We also expanded programming for seniors. We had a volunteer corps that met on a regular basis, and now we're still able to create a few volunteer opportunities that are virtual pen pal situations with elementary students or volunteer readers. That larger program, though, is much smaller right now. So we expanded. We started a book club, an exercise group. We have a film discussion group. And we're trying just to create an opportunity where both our people who are living with dementia, their care partners, older adults have ways to regularly socialize and have some stimulation and interaction with other people. And we planned our initial opening. We planned for, you know, this past January, we were going to open up and just provide respite to those who were knocking down our doors and saying they just really needed some support and some assistance. And then our numbers plummeted or escalated, if you want to look at it that way. And we decided that it wasn't the right time. And then we planned an opening in April. And there was a debate whether that was, you know, we needed a letter of approval to open. And now there's a debate with the state and some of the other funding organizations of what that protocol entails. So we're kind of in a middle ground now. We've gone through all the steps that we need to in order to open. We've packed away furniture, we've set up the floor plan, we've looked at numbers, how many staff, how many people for social distancing. We even recently found ourselves at a place where we decided our first phase of opening would include participants that have been vaccinated and that they come from homes that are vaccinated to give us a little edge to open sooner than we may have otherwise. And we're kind of in this place where our hope is that sometime in June, we're able to start a small opening. But again, we want to make sure that we have state approval and everything is agreed upon and supported. We have our plan book all together and we're ready and our families are ready. So hopefully it will happen soon. I just wanted to mention that we started with our virtual programming as a free opportunity, thinking that it would just be a few months. And so we did end up starting a membership type program just this past February, where people would pay a fee and get a certain number of punches on a virtual punch card, and they can attend any of the programs that we're offering, whether there are, you know, programs for our participants living with dementia, if it's the book club. You know, once you have a punch card, you get the links to all of the programs and you're able to attend. And so right now, that's where we are. We are continuing with our virtual programming. We're increasing it as we move along in the hopes that either we don't need it as frequently once we're able to open, or we have found there are a lot of people who can't necessarily get out of their homes, and that virtual programming makes a big difference for them as well, even if it's only 1 hour at a time, both for the person participating and the person who has an opportunity to do some self-care or other things around the house because they know their loved one is occupied.
Thank you very much. That was really very informative. I have a question sort of about that virtual programming and how it's going to, when you are able to reopen, do you see them being sort of two separate tracks for a little while, or will it be a combined thing that people are participating in person and virtually at the same time? How do you see the two working together as you try to ramp up your in-person services?
So I see it, again, in a phased way. Initially, when we first open, everyone that wants to come back will not be able to. We have two sites. The Brown program is a joint program between JVS Human Services, which is in Southfield, and Jewish Senior Life. So we have two locations, one in West Bloomfield and one in Southfield. When we first open up, we'll still be at partial staff, although hopefully more staff than we have now, and we'll be at partial capabilities for participants. So that virtual programming will allow those who are on the list to come back but not yet ready, whether it's their reasons or our space, they'll be able to utilize that. And then once we're able to open back up to our full capacity, that will still be an opportunity if we have someone who attends 3 days a week, but they're not with us on Thursdays, and Thursday is the time that we have a specialist come in and do music and movement, they'll be able to continue to use that membership card and attend those programs as they'd like to as well. It also gives us an opportunity to reach out a little bit. I've had people call me from out of state that are interested in utilizing some of these virtual programs as well. So, you know, that would create another environment where people who aren't able to get into our center due to location could still participate.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, Beth, did you want to ask a question?
Yes, I wanted to ask two questions. One, you talked about a punch card, and what do you charge for the full punch, the full complement of programs that are available? What does the participant have to pay?
So participants have the opportunity to purchase a punch card that has, I mean, it's virtual, we keep track of it. There's either 8 on it, or if they purchase for $100, there's 18, so they also get 2 free. It really turns out to be, depending on which card you purchase, between 5.5 and 6.25 dollars per program. We have had a couple of people who have reached out to us that they have a loved one participating in our dementia programming, and they're participating in the exercise in the book club. And so to add it all up, it gets to be a little more than what they can personally manage. And we work with everyone.
Thank you. And my second question, which was very intriguing, was the statement you said that people who can participate in the program have to be vaccinated and come from homes that have been vaccinated. How do you anticipate being able to monitor that?
So our statement is not to participate in our program that they have to be vaccinated or come from homes that were vaccinated. The issue is that when we open up, we will be opening in a phased way. So we'll be starting with smaller groups instead of everybody being able to come, because we have to be able to social distance and so on and so forth. We will be, instead of having a day program, we're going to have sessions so that someone can come in the morning or the afternoon, but there is no meal, and that lowers risk as well. Nobody has to take off their mask for lunch and so on and so forth. So one of the first phases, we have been looking at inviting those that have been vaccinated and have family members that have been vaccinated, so that we're talking about our first phase being the lowest risk while we are still in a high risk area. The other thing with that is that we are very lucky in our community that we were able to help set up clinics and invited all of our participants and their family members to come in and get vaccinated if they so chose. So, you know, there could be certain situations where there are extenuating circumstances. And, you know, at the Brown program, we like to say everything is a conversation. So we can have that conversation when it comes, but we have made every effort to help people get the vaccines as they wanted them.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. Again, that was really
important. Michelle, did you have a question?
Michelle.
Yeah, I want to know how you're going to have that conversation. I think about, like, can you just, this is what we're grappling with. Do you just come out and ask, are you being vaccinated? You were all being advised that that's something that you legally can do, ask people and your clients if they're vaccinated. I know there's questions about the employees, but what are you going to do with, you know, the families and the clients that you're planning on having come in, Debbie?
So just like we have a form that they fill out when they, I will say now, returning to the program versus the initial medical forms. But on that, it asks if they've gotten a flu shot. We don't mandate a flu shot, but we do ask if they've had one and the date of it. You know, when was their last TB test? So we think that this is added as a question like that. We're not saying they have to. We're not saying that they're going to be turned away from the program. They might just not be in our first phase, which, you know, I didn't include the information, but also in our first phases, if we have anybody that needs assistance of two staff, if someone needs help toileting and they require two staff, we're not going to have enough hands on deck, right? So there are many things that we had to look at in the first phase with our minimized numbers and how to lower as much risk. And that's one of them. So it'll be a question without judgment. However, we have a pretty good sense, because we handled these clinics, of who did or did not get vaccinated. And the majority of our participants were so excited to have this being offered to them, were so interested in it, and have asked, if I come back, if I bring my loved one, are they going to be with people who are vaccinated or not? Now, we won't share that information with everybody, you know, people's personal information. However, that is a question that we're just asking.
You know, at the CEO check-in chat the other week, they were talking about some agencies have those I have been vaccinated stickers that staff are putting onto their doors if they choose to. So people actually know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't.
That's great.
You know, not all agencies are doing that, but I thought that was actually a good idea.
Thank you again, Debbie. I don't see any other questions right now. So maybe in the breakout groups, we might even name the breakout groups by some of our presenters. And then if you want to go to that breakout group, you can follow up there.
Is that what you want me to do? You want me to, I wrote one just for Canadian agencies. Do we also want to just put Debbie in one? And
Debbie in one, and then we'll hear, and then we can have a general one.
Okay.
Try to divide people up equally. Just
and so a few that, generals.
If that sounds good. So I'm going to turn it over to our last speaker, Kathy.
She's here.
Yes. Okay. There you are. Kathy from Boston. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Debbie, I used to live at 7 Mile Livernois, so I'm an old Detroit person. And I was a landed immigrant in Toronto when I was growing up. So I feel for you up there in Canada. I didn't look up to see kind of what the uptake is on vaccinations in Massachusetts, but I think we're doing okay. There's what I've been reading is that we are now at the stage almost where we're having to go out and, you know, kind of find the people who are reticent to, for many reasons, to get vaccinated. So it feels a bit like things are opening up. And I've been on what we call our COVID task force since the beginning. And so you know, that is a group of us that are managing all the questions related to our staff and our clients and volunteers. And so, you know, it's been quite a journey. In services for older adults, and I'm joined here, usually my colleague Beth Salzberg, who's also on, is here from Boston, and she may have some stuff to add. But our work in services for older adults is primarily bucketed into case management and home care. These are sort of overlapping buckets, but case management and home care, mental health and engagement and wellness, and then work we do around training, consultation, and community supports. So of the different things that that we do, the different services, the most frontline that's been operating continuously throughout the pandemic is a service where we have PCAs, personal care assistants, who visit people on a daily basis in their home for 1 hour or 1 to 2 hours. And that has been, you know, happening throughout the pandemic, and we've had very little difficulty around people, staff or clients. Some people have gotten COVID, but no one has been, very few people have been very ill. And so that has been an ongoing part of the work. We also have geriatric care management that we do for free and for fees. And so most of that work for the first several months was virtual. And we're now starting to work with people in person again. And our guardianship program was another one where we had to go virtual. Many of the people that we were working with were living in skilled nursing facilities, and which we weren't allowed to go into. So that's opening up a bit. So we're now going back to see our clients out in the community. And then our Holocaust Services program has been pretty much 100% virtual, but we've had a lot of hands-on sort of phone calls and sending all kinds of packages and newsletters. And so we've been pretty on top of those folks, and we're also probably gonna start seeing them in their homes soon. So as an organization, we're really looking to the end of August, beginning of September, to really institute staff coming back to work. And the whole issue around hybrid versus virtual has been, is a big point of discussion. So our mental health and wellness programming, all of our Parkinson's support group, family support group, and Alzheimer's family support has gone virtual. So our dance program, our Tremble Clef, which is our chorus, our Parkinson's chorus, our, Beth runs a memory cafe that is virtual. And Beth has been a resource nationally around moving memory cafes to virtual environments. And I think someone mentioned support groups, and the need for, the demand for support groups has kind of really expanded for us. So we're doing, I think, 8 or 10 support groups, some focused on bereavement and loss, some on care partners, adult children, and that's all virtual. And to be honest, we're thinking very seriously that much of this work will continue virtually.
It's successful.
We're able to reach more people. Yeah. And people who started virtually, you know, they don't have a point of reference really. So it's more convenient. I think that obviously things like our singing group, the Tremble Clef, and the dance group, we will be bringing them back together in person, because they really, they want it and they need it. And actually I was just seeing that we're at a point now where people can sing outside without masks. So I thought that was interesting. So we may bring them together over the summer in the Tremble Clef. But the virtual piece, you know, we have all of these, we're very, very focused on therapeutic arts. So a lot of that work we've been able to do virtually successfully, you know, thanks to colleagues like Beth who've been really on it. We have learned, you know, again, through Beth and others, that the hybrid, you know, the idea of trying to do something in person and virtually at the same time is pretty much a no-go. It's way too complicated. It requires, you know, additional staff. So I'm guessing that if we do things hybrid, it will offer both, but not at the same time. And we will investigate how to add dosage, if you will, virtually to things that are important to us. So I think that we're also trying to do some cross-marketing with other organizations so that we can reach a broader audience and share stuff that's happening virtually. Any thoughts, Beth, about what I might have missed?
I think you covered it very well, Kathy. Thanks.
Beth has presented that fabulous memory cafe to many of us, maybe not everyone here, and it's really amazing what you've done.
Well, and actually Rosemary and I are scheduled to do a presentation in, I think it's June 22nd.
For us?
And yeah, terrific. On virtual and hybrid social engagement programming for people living with dementia and family members.
Yeah. Great.
I forgot to say that, and this was a number I pulled together for another reason, but a colleague of mine is really focused on mental health. We do a lot of training of resident service coordinators and people who work in councils on aging and, you know, community people working with older adults. And since the last year, she has reached 3,200 people. So, you know, it's just, I mean, you know, when I say thousands, it's not, I just was checking to make sure I wasn't talking out of the side of my mouth. And it's really, we've been able to reach so many people. And so we've been, you know, excited by that. Although personally speaking, I'm really eager to have my colleagues here physically.
Thank you very much for all that. You do so much in Boston, clearly. So thank you. And I hope people did see in the chat about the Beth posted. There's resources you can get online as well. Are there any quick questions before I turn it over to Brenda for the breakout groups?
Brenda, I was just going to say, you had suggested that I write Debbie, Kathy, Canadian agencies, and then three generals. That's what I have.
Sounds good. Let's try it and see what happens.
So if you have any other questions, you will be able to answer them, ask them in your breakout groups as well. Lisa, I think you're going to be showing there's four questions that we're going to be looking at.
Well, I put the three questions I said.
The three questions.
Introducing yourselves, what are your own reopening plans, and what questions is your agency grappling with regarding reopening? And what those questions are, if you write them in the chat or whatnot, there may be some materials in the resource library, which I can tell you all where to go to find out information if you're grappling with some of the same things that other affinity groups are grappling with. So
Lisa, do you think we'll have enough time to come back and share some of what we were discussing?
Sure. Why don't we go in for 15 minutes? How's that? Does that work?
So I would suggest maybe in the group you can identify if maybe a spokesperson if you want, or, you know, just somebody to take down notes if you want to come back and have a discussion of what you what you were talking about, because I'm sure everybody has a lot of great ideas that we can share with each other.
Terrific. Okay. So
can I just ask a quick question? Because I see that Brenda's here from Philadelphia, and I just didn't know whether at some point, because I don't usually haven't had the ability to attend, if people have been talking about the Uniper thing at all amongst this group.
No one's talking about Uniper in this group as of yet. There's, okay. But we can, not today. Do you all see the breakout rooms?
Yeah.
Anywhere?
It says, it disappeared. Yeah, it says breakout rooms.
Okay, do you see it? And you can join where you want to join?
Yeah. Lisa?
Yes.
I just want to clarify, on my name, it says JVS Boston.
I can't change it now. I meant Detroit.
Just so people know, I'm in Detroit, not Boston.
Yeah, Detroit. I meant Detroit. Excuse me, okay. My fault.
Okay, so we can just choose one.
You all choose where you want to go. If you want to go into another room, I don't know if you will, you have to come back to the center and then go into a different room. But I'm going to broadcast the message to all of you now.
And Debbie and Kathy, you'll have to choose your rooms as well.
I can't see a room choice right now.
I don't either.
How do you join a room from that list?
It says join. Do you see where it says join? On the right-hand side? I can assign you guys if you want me to.
Yeah. I'll assign you, Kathy, to your room.
Thank you. I don't see
okay,
it.
Okay. So.
At least it's not just me. I was like staring at it.
I see the list, but there's no join.
I don't understand why you can't see that. Hold on. Maybe I have to make it bigger. Can you see it now?
Where are we looking in the?
To the bottom. It says breakout room on your screen. Yeah. Is that true?
Oh, I see it.
Do you see something that says breakout room on the bottom of your screen?
I see breakout rooms and I click on it and it tells me who's in every room, but there's
right. No so you can join one on the right. It says join.
Do you see? I don't have a join.
Well, which room would you like to go to? We'll just get you there, Aleka.
A general. Looks like there's one that has three people and two that have zero. So.
Okay. Great.
Me. Yeah, I'll join that too.
That's really weird.
Do you know how to do that, Adam?
Yeah, got it. I got it.
But you got it? Okay.
So, and Hetty found a room too.
Okay.
I don't know where Hetty went.
Okay, so Adam, where are you going?
I'll go, I guess, to either Boston or should I go to the general one?
Yeah, wherever you want.
Okay,
I'm supposed to like now tell you but I didn't tell you what all the questions were because someone said they couldn't see it. So let me write the three questions. Okay, one, introduce yourself. I don't think I can do it. Are you here with me, Michelle?
Rooms that we have active breakout rooms? Four?
Four, I think.
Adam, do you want to start with the group that you were in or who was presenting from your group, just to give a brief summary?
Sure. I guess I will. We failed to get to the part of who was going to report back. So I'll just report very quickly. I was in the group with Kathy, And then I think there are five of us, Beverly, Kim, and Beth, we're in our group. I think we're at varying places about opening or not opening. There are plans for people to return to the office place as soon as June, and some that it's not determined. I think a few questions that came up were for when there's hesitancy among staff to get vaccinated, what can be mandated and how to address that, particularly among Russian-speaking staff has been a challenge in some places. And then we, at the very end, started talking about what specific protocols we have in place for visits. Kathy mentioned maybe she can share the protocols that they have in place at Boston so that people can at least see what, for the case and care management, what the specific protocols are. We have some specific protocols I'd be happy to share as well. So maybe we can follow up on that. That was very quick. There's a lot more to the conversation. Is there anything else anyone wants to add?
I think that was a good point though, Adam, about sharing protocols, because a lot of us still have to develop them, and it would be good to see what other people are doing so we could make sure we include the information that is necessary. Do you want me to go for my group, the Canadian group? Yay, Canadians. There's only four of us in the group. It was Heather, Beth, and Tatiana. And I found out just now that Tatiana used to actually be with us in Cummings. So there was like three of us, from two Montrealers and one ex-Montrealer. I just have to say it's very different in Canada. When we were talking, one of the first things that we said is, based on human rights, we don't have the right to ask people whether or not they were given the vaccine. So we cannot ask our staff, we cannot ask our clients, we cannot ask our members. So that's going to be something that's challenging to us, because it's based on the Charter of Rights. And I thought it was just Quebec, but Heather and Tatiana said it's the same thing for them as well in Winnipeg and Edmonton. So that is one of the challenges. It's particularly bad now in Winnipeg and Edmonton, so they don't even have an idea of when they will open up. But I think one of the things that came out of this was that our priority when we do open up will be to our clients. There is services now for the Holocaust survivors, but also we need to extend for more of the social services and the home care as well. I think also for the case management, Beth was saying that we are doing case management now virtually, and people are really have not seen anybody in person. It's working, but not everybody has access to Zoom and the technology. So then it's done over by phone. So I think everything is still up in the air. We don't know when we'll be opening up.
Yep. I want to know what's happening in Spokane. What's happening with you guys, Neil?
I can tell you what's happening in Spokane. that's all right. So we're one of the smallest JFS agencies, and we do focus on senior services. And as of our last board meeting, which was end of April, the board expressed support for visits to some senior clients on the part of when staff or volunteers are fully vaccinated, when the clients are fully vaccinated, and the visits should be outside, distanced, if one or both parties want to wear a mask to feel comfortable, that's of course fine, but distance and outdoors is the main focus. And the idea is to really select seniors whom we think would most benefit from in-person visitation due to either mental health, aspects, or some kind of events in the client's life that make them particularly, that where in person would be particularly powerful or important, but to be very selective and to really prioritize comfort and, of course, safety. But that's sort of where we are. We hosted a regular monthly senior luncheon for a long, long time, and that's been on hold, of course, since March of last year. And we don't have a date, that we know that we'll be able to start it again. It all depends on you know, public health guidance, and then also the temple where we host them, what their views are in terms of when gatherings can happen. So that's a ways down the line. But we've done virtual programs in place of that, and it's been fairly successful. So yeah, that's where we are right now. We're very eager to look at other agencies' phased reopening plans, and I've started to gather some to review with my board. So that's been very helpful. Thank you to those who have provided those.
So I was going to say, it seems like for many agencies, or all agencies, it's still a long way to normal, right? It's still a long way to go. So you were talking about protocols. I just want to mention that in the resource library, which you all have access to, you go to the members only portal, you go to the resource library, and you can search by COVID-19. There's a category, just like an affinity group. And in that, there's lots of different protocols and waivers and forms and policies and procedures that agencies have given to us that we put in there. So you might want to look at them for your own, you know, idea as to what you could be doing at your agencies. So look there, I would say. You know, it's not so easy to find, but put in protocols, look in COVID-19, look at the titles, and know that we are getting a new resource library, which is going to be a lot easier for everyone to find what they need. It's just put on back burner once COVID hit in March.
Great. So I think if people do have protocols they want to share, we can probably post more on the resource library. So if you do have that are really up to date with current things that are changing as things change, that would be great. I think we're out of time for today, since it is 3:30, which means we're not everybody got to share. Yes, what's that, Brenda?
We're way over time, actually.
So thank you all for coming.
Hold on. Yeah. June 22nd, we do. Is Beth still here? She is 100% correct. I'm so glad you mentioned it. We do have that webinar that I asked you guys to do, you and Rosemary. Do you want to just mention what it is? It's at 2 p.m. on Eastern Standard on June 22nd. Beth? Yeah.
So Rosemary Quetral, who's from Salt Lake City, who is here as well. And Rosemary, I don't know if you're able to chime in. We're actually meeting tomorrow to set our title, so we don't have it, but we're going to be sharing about virtual and hybrid social engagement programs for people living with dementia and older adults. Do you want to, so I'm going to give sort of an overview of what we've learned in the percolator JFNCS Memory Cafe Percolator, which includes many hundreds of memory cafes across the country. And Rosemary is going to really zero in on their program. Do you want to add anything, Rosemary?
No, it's good. Sounds good.
Great. You'll hear about it. We'll be sending something out so you can mark your calendars on June 22nd at 2. And then the next older adult group might be a pop-up with the Holocaust Survivor Group. We'll keep you posted about that. That could potentially be this June 17th at, I think, 2:30. And then the older adult one is on August 17th at 2:30. So a lot of things coming up for this population, these professionals. So hopefully you can make them all. It's always good to see you. And together, we all should say it, we are better. Together we are better. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Brenda.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.